Moncrief on News Talk.
100 years ago this week, 33 Irish men were released from various prisons in Scotland, making them the longest-serving prisoners of people who took part in the War of Independence. To tell us a bit more about that, we're joined by Pat McGarty from MTU. Good afternoon, Pat.
Good afternoon, Shanti, and your listeners.
Now, I suppose we need to give a bit of background as to how they ended up in prison. This is around the time that Collins was trying to prevent there being a split in the IRA.
That's correct. That divisive period, really, between the treaty in December 21 and obviously the start of the War of Independence in June 1922, Collins was trying to prevent a split, and he was trying to keep, I suppose, both factions of the IRA, the pro and anti-treaty IRA, together. And I suppose the common cause was, I suppose, Ulster, and that new state was set up in Northern Ireland. So there's a little bit more, I suppose, context too, in the sense that there was three prisoners due to be executed in Derry Jail. And Collins organised a raid across the border under the guise of, he set up a group called the IRA, the Ulster Northern Command of the IRA, and it was under the leadership of Frank Aiken, future Minister for Foreign Affairs, and Longford, Sean McKeown. Sean McKeown was anti-treaty, Frank Aiken. Sean McKeown was pro-treaty, Frank Aiken was anti-treaty. And both of them were future ministers in various governments. But basically what happened was there was a kidnap raid of prominent unionists organised by the Northern Command in response to the threatened execution of the prisoners in Derry, to just bring over and bring these prisoners, these prominent unionists over, and use them as a barter, you know, to save their lives. But unbeknownst of the groups that were going over, the Northern Command groups that were going over, the prisoners were reprieved. But when they went into Enniskillen that night, one of the groups were captured by the police, by the B Specials. A number of groups in other counties, it was a coordinated effort across the border, led by Frank Aiken. They got away, and they actually took prisoners, and they took them across the border and held them in the south. That's what happened. But a particular group of prisoners were captured and then were tried at Enniskillen, and were subsequently sentenced to long terms of imprisonment. They were transferred to Scotland.
Yeah, and why were they transferred to Scotland?
Interesting question. The Northern authorities were claiming that there was no room in prisons in the north at the time, and that's why they were. That was the official line. Another reason was that they sent them to a number of prisons in Scotland. But what this particular group now, what we call the group, the Enniskillen group, they were sent to a prison called Peterhead, which was a hard labour prison. It was a hard labour prison up in the northeast of Scotland, in Aberdeen. And their daily chores essentially were, you know, there was a granite quarry near the prison, and they were actually breaking stones. That's what they did every day, and hard labour and extremely tough conditions, brutal conditions.
Yeah. Would one get the sense then that transfer was deliberate? They were kind of sending a message?
Absolutely. That would be my personal opinion anyway. Yeah, absolutely. To this particular group. And this particular group were sent up there and spent a long time up there. And that was it, basically. And, you know, they were an interesting group because they were, you know, there were pro and anti-treaty, you know, so there was a group of pro-treaty, a group of anti-treaty. And one of the group, in fact, was an elected Cumannagale TD, a government TD, that was Sean McCortland from Tipperary.
And was he elected when he was in prison?
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was elected in 1923. Yeah.
And so the Civil War raged, and they had to sit out the whole thing in these prisons.
They did. They sat out in prison. They did. And they never got out, despite the government of the Irish Free State, a newly formed Irish Free State, tried to get them out, tried to negotiate with James Craig, the Prime Minister of Northern Ireland, and the British authorities, but they wouldn't concede because, as far as they were concerned, the offences that they carried out, they were convicted of possession of arms and explosives, but the Northern authorities considered the offences criminal offences, not political offences. Obviously, the government of the Irish Free State has a different opinion, but despite that, they remained in prison.
Yeah, and was it who actually ultimately would make the decision about letting them out or not? Was it the Northern authorities or was it in Westminster?
No, it would be the Northern authorities, absolutely, yeah. Maybe with a bit of pressure from Westminster, but certainly the Northern authorities would be the final arbiters.
Yeah, and so as time went by and people were released from jails in the Free State who had taken part in the Civil War and all the rest of it, were they the last people left in prison as a result of the War of Independence?
They were. They were among the last. There was actually three other prisoners were left in until the following July. One was a man, Thomas McShay, who was involved in that Derry, the guys who were due to be hanged that day in Derry. They were actually the last, but the largest group were these what we would call now the Peterhead men, they were that group that were captured in Enniskillen, and the vast majority of them were from the south, like they were from Dublin, Leitrim, Longford, Tipperary. And then there was a group of local men from Fermanagh with them as well.
Yeah,
so the vast majority were south, where they were citizens of the fledgling Irish Free State, and both pro and anti-treaty, and completely forgotten about and written out of history, unfortunately.
Yeah. So what were the circumstances in which they were eventually freed?
They were eventually freed as part of, I suppose, negotiations following the report of the Boundary Commission in 1925. And Nationalist hopes, as you may know, about a readjustment of the border rested with this Boundary Commission. But there was little change, and it was considered a diplomatic defeat for the Free State government. But in conceding that defeat, the Irish Free State government put pressure on James Craig and the British authorities, to release the men. And that's what actually happened. About six weeks after that agreement, you know.
Yeah, but the Free State they came back to, was it kind of indifferent? They'd kind of, people had moved on with other concerns.
Oh, absolutely. You know, life went on and that was it. But it's interesting when we go along and look at the men, like, and look at their fates. Like, one of them, like, a number of them joined the Guards when they came back to the newly formed Civic Guards or the Guard of Síochána. One of them, Jack McCourtin, became a state solicitor for Tipperary. Joe Reynolds and a number of his colleagues, actually, Joe Reynolds from Leitrim, went to America, emigrated in search of a new life, fought in World War II, for the US forces.
And you're a descendant of Joe Reynolds, is that right, Pat?
I am. And there's a number. I belong to a group of relatives now who are actually trying to get, some sort of recognition. And in fairness, it was raised in the Oireachtas last week in the Shannon by Senator Nessa Cosgrove. And Longford County Library and Archives and Leitrim County Library are putting together, a lecture series and an exhibition. But it's a little bit wider than that. There was Dublin men involved. There was a Tipperary man involved, a state solicitor. So, I think, perhaps the time has come, to remember the forgotten men of the Irish Revolution, because this group were a very, very unique group. The very fact that they were, on both sides of, that Civil War divide, the pro and anti-treaty, and they were united, I suppose, in many ways, really, when you look at the hardship they went through and what they endured in Peterhead. You know, it was hard labour prison. It was called Scotland's Gulag. They broke stones every day. They endured quite a lot of hardship in prison. But unfortunately, when they came back to a different Ireland.
Yeah.
And they were largely forgotten about. So maybe 100 years later, this is the time, maybe. And in fairness, the relatives group have written to the Minister of Culture, Patrick O'Donovan, and in fairness, the letter has been acknowledged. So hopefully, I know at a local level, as I say, you know, Longford and Leitrim are doing something, you know, but, you know, as I say, there was a wider group as well. So we hopefully the relatives of Jack McCurtain from Tipperary and other relatives, you know, the floods in Dublin, they are represented on the group through Connor. And but there's yeah, it's look, I think it is time. I think, in fairness to, I suppose, Senator Cosgrove and Longford County Library and the Archives and Leitrim County Library, something has been done at local level. But maybe we should maybe think of doing something for this unique bunch and largely forgotten bunch of men.
Indeed.
Revolution.
Pat, thanks very much for speaking with us about that today. That was Pat McGarty there from MTU. Also, Pat's the author of Leitrim, the Irish Revolution, 1912 to 1923.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.